enrichissante puisque ça permet de partager ses expériences entre les différents voyageurs qui se croisent ici.
In Iran, when a guest or loved one leaves our house, we accompany him or her to the door and throw water to show we want him or her to return very soon. With this compassion, we left that beautiful place to discover other local guest houses. The second place is the House of Baran, which means rain in Farsi, a beautiful adobe house that truly represents the city of Yazd. A very simple house, but artistically decorated and perfectly designed with traditional Persian elements that constantly reminds you of the peaceful spirit of Iranians. A beautiful house with very positive energy. There's a logic behind the location of every piece in decorating this guest house. Some of these elements are symbolic and some others are still functional.
This house has lots of interesting features for me as a visitor. Abbas, the owner of this guest house, had to adjust the stairs and make them more comfortable for us, people of modern age, to be able to walk down. Because apparently, back in the old days, they were building these stairs very high. On the ground room, there is about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius temperature difference, comparing it to upstairs. So making it a perfect room to chill and maybe take a nap during the hot days of summer. Also during the cold days of winter, this is going to be a very warm room and area of the building. Few steps down and this tiny little room even gets cooler. Ideal, perfect place to keep your fruits and vegetables during the hot days of summer. Natural cooling system. You know why? Because it's connected to the wind tower room.
There is always a time to say goodbye to even the most beautiful things in this world. What you take from that location or moment is usually what you see or experience towards the end. An unforgettable taste with a beautiful color and very exciting recipe create an experience that I will take with me from Baran Guest House. The exciting thing about all these traditional guest houses is the fact that they're all different in some ways. One is famous for its traditional elements, one is known for its design and decorations, and the other has some very moving stories about the people who live there, the people who run it now, their families and their relatives. Local people of different regions of Iran, full of love and passion, the most hospitable hosts that I have ever seen in my life. Jahangard Guest House is one of the few places that you can have a unique experience of meeting local elders, hear their stories, and learn about their experiences.
One of the benefits of staying at local guest houses is to have a chance to have this first-hand experience of seeing local handicrafts being made. And I really enjoy interacting with these people, talking to them, and of course learning from them.
One thing is to hear or imagine how life was back in the old days, especially inside these gorgeous traditional guest houses. Another thing is to live the life of those people in those days. It might be some very simple acts, or even sometimes symbolic, but they definitely worth the try. It feels amazing. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Allah Allah ya Allah 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 ya Allah Salli ala al-Mustafa Al-Hadi al-Mujtaba Wal-Ali al-Kiram Allah Allah ya Allah 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 ya Allah Salli ala al-Mustafa Al-Hadi al-Mujtaba Wal-Ali al-Kiram
Don't you worry Follow the sign Leave the story To the divine free yourself and say what's true. Be yourself, though you may be few.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram.
You can see straight into my soul. You know in hardship I changed my goals. Now I realize I was so unwise. Abandoned your advice,
faced with your pride.
Help was always near if we persevered.
If we held up
just for a while.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram.
My life is empty without you. Nothing I've gained is without you. If you are pleased, my soul can breathe. Where would I be without you? My heart now flees these worldly dreams, yearning for mercy from you. Now I realize I was so unwise. Abandoned your advice,
faced with your trial.
Help was always near if we persevered.
If we held up
just for a while.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Allah, Allah, ya Allah. Salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram. Al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Ikram.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners from around the world. This is Iran Radio from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. By the way, you're listening to Iran Radio. In Islam, the ink of the scholar is more holy than the blood of the martyr. There are an estimated 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, which is about 1.5% of the world's population. Due to the birth and conversion rates, Islam is considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. And on the continuation of Iran Radio, we start off this hour's programs with Spring of Truth. The program presents a selection of statements and speeches by the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. That will be followed by Around the World with reporters. Listen to fascinating reports from around the world as reporters tell us what is happening in their locality. And our final program this hour is The Teacher. The program presents key teachings and concepts in Islamic and Shia theology. Stay with us.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are listening to the Spring of Truth, and I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, your host, and I'm going to present you a beautiful and a very powerful quote from Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini says, we can invite people to the right path with gentle words, a soft pen, with advice, and with friendship, just like the prophets did. Over here, we see a beautiful side of the religion of Islam where the Imam has lived this life. The Imam used to invite people to the right path with his beautiful words, with his soft pen, meaning he used to write a lot of books. And we have known a lot of his books, the likes of Adab al-Salah, example, the likes of Chahil Hadith, that is the 40 Hadith, which is a very famous book, even the Urafa, even the spiritual guides, the mystic scholars take a lot of benefit from his books. With advice and his friendship was well known, the way he used to play with children is well known, and just like the prophets did. The prophets used to be very kind to people. The prophets used only gentle words. They were never harsh with the people. They would advise people with utmost friendship. The quality of our prophet, which is very famous, he was called Rahmatul Lil Alameen. The mercy to the existence, I would say. Alameen is the world. Of course, the whole existence treat him as a merciful being. So, if we look at the verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and speak to people with gentle speech, and perhaps he may be reminded or fear. So over here, it's not necessary that if you want to make a person fearful or give him a warning, it's not necessary that you speak to him in harsh words or you speak to him in a way that he gets frightened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speak to people with gentle speech. So you can speak to people with gentleness and make them understand about the dangers of the hereafter, about the dangers of sins, of bad deeds. And another hadith says, gentleness does not enter anything except that it beautifies it. So it is going to beautify a person. If you are gentle, you are going to first beautify yourself. There's no force in the religion, but through patient, respectful dialogue and leading by example, you can plant a seed of truth that may one day blossom. So it's not necessary that you tell the opposite person to become Muslim straight away. No, you can speak to him in gentle words. This is actually what the Prophet used to do. He used to be gentle with the people. He used to speak to them with kind words. He used to smile at them when he used to look at them. These were the beautiful akhlaq. These were the beautiful conducts and manners of the Prophet that attracted people to the religion of Islam. It was not his teachings. It was his conduct. It was his way of speaking. It was his way of looking. So this is a beautiful quote from the Imam, Imam Khomeini, where he says, invite people to the right path, that is the path of Islam, through your gentle words, through your advice and friendship. And just like the prophets, and I would definitely add over here, even the Imams used to be like this. The Imams were too kind. The strongest argument is not a shout, but a whisper that reaches the heart. True guidance is an act of compassion, not winning souls with the warmth of wisdom, not the force of fury.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashav, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Again, 120 people were murdered in a massacre by the RSF militia as they attacked a kindergarten, a village and a hospital. Most of the dead were children aged 3, 4 and 5. The massacre against civilians had been conducted in the village of Kalogi in South Kordofan. Diplomats heard during the presentation of the new report on the humanitarian crisis in Sudan.
Sometimes the situation and the facts are distorted, so we want to shed light on the developments in the country, and also we know that now the UN is saying that Sudan is the largest humanitarian crisis, and so we would like to see why the situation is going in that direction, and what is the magnitude of this humanitarian crisis, and also what is the support that we can get from our partners in the international community.
The new report sheds further light on the UAE's technological and military assistance of the RSF militia. The report says that the shortest way to achieve peace and end the suffering of the Sudanese people is to hold the UAE accountable for its aggression. However, a recent EU Parliament resolution removed the mention of the UAE at the last minute.
The UAE are supporter of the RSF rebels, but after some diplomatic interventions by the UAE, the European Parliament opted to adjust its call on about foreign countries that influence the conflict.
We will keep providing humanitarian aid to ease the suffering of the Sudanese people. Sustainable and safe delivery of humanitarian aid in Sudan remains to be an urgent need to ensure uninterrupted delivery of humanitarian aid.
On Tuesday, an aid convoy of the World Food Program was attacked in Hamra El Sheikh in North Darfur. It was the sixth such attack this year that has so far led to the killing of 8 World Food Program workers since the beginning of the year.
It's the world's largest humanitarian catastrophe. 30 million people are dependent to safe access.
Two unprecedented humanitarian crises, famine and genocide, have been unfolding in Sudan and Gaza. Although witnessed by millions online, the international community remains unable and unwilling to stop them. Economic and political ties with the perpetrators and states supporting them, most notably the US and the UAE, seem to be more important than human lives in West Asia and Africa. Dieter Reinisch from United Nations in Vienna.
Iran is preparing to host a fresh and potentially decisive round of mediation between Pakistan and Afghanistan's Taliban regime next week. in what is being viewed as the most ambitious diplomatic effort yet to break the deadlock between the two hostile neighbors. The Tehran talks stand out due to the anticipated participation of China and Russia, signaling that leading regional powers now view the escalating Pakistan rift as a direct challenge to wider regional stability. The Tehran initiative follows deadly border clashes between the two uneasy neighbors and earlier rounds of negotiations in Qatar, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia, none of which produced a breakthrough.
This is a significant development, and what makes the Tehran talks particularly noteworthy is the expected participation of China and Russia. Their involvement signals that major regional players view this standoff between Pakistan and Afghanistan not just as a bilateral issue, but as a potential threat to wider regional stability. Tehran is leveraging both its political weight and the presence of two regional powers to create pressure for dialogue and compromise.
This mediation effort follows recent visits by Iran's senior security and diplomatic officials, reflecting Tehran's urgency to calm rising tensions between Islamabad and Kabul.
Since we have seen the Israeli occupation in Palestine and we have seen the atrocities of Israel, we have seen the very positive, very impactful role of Iran in the region. Iran has started maintaining its foreign relation with other and neighboring countries. So I believe that Iran this time could be a important mediator as compared to the other one, being in as I have already mentioned, that immediate neighbor, being a stakeholder, so having projects with India, being a state. Because we have been blaming Afghanistan that their land is being used by India in creating proxies in Pakistan. So I believe this time we have a mediator that could play a better role than the previous ones.
In the run-up to next week's meeting, Iranian diplomats have intensified shuttle contact with both Pakistan and Afghanistan.
With tensions at their highest in years between Islamabad and Kabul, the Tehran mediation round will test whether coordinated pressure from Iran, supported by China and Russia, can open a path toward restoring trust and containing cross-border threats destabilizing the region. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Across the crowded western areas of Khan Yunis, tents stretch as fragile shelters held up by one essential material, wood. Yet even the simplest material is denied to Gaza's displaced families. Wooden pallets, once lying discarded on the roadside, have become a treasure for anyone desperate to keep a tent standing against wind and rain. That's what Rami Ibrahim understood. With his worn-out saw and a rusty hammer, he set up a small makeshift workshop, salvaging every splinter he could collect. From sunrise to sunset, Rami and his children worked together, cracking boards apart, pounding nails, and joining short pieces into long, sturdy supports, repurposing scraps into the pillars that can hold fragile shelters standing.
Most of us now live in tents, as no caravans or suitable housing units have arrived. While many people break down these pallets for firewood, I try to collect them from those who fetch them after aid or commercial deliveries. My children and I carefully transform these scraps into something usable. I even built my own workshop structure from this wood. As the weather grows harsher, at least when people lose their tents, they can find an affordable alternative.
Here in Gaza, wood has become a rare commodity, not for furniture, but for survival. With materials blocked by Israel, the scraps of wood recycled here are the only option for many displaced families to hold their tents from collapsing.
For the displaced families, the fear is no longer limited to Israel's bombs. Even the weather can tear their tents down. On a nearby road, Abu Ihab has just got a few wooden boards from the workshop. He lays them to rebuild a new tent after his previous shelter collapsed under the brutal conditions. With only a handful of boards, he hopes this rebuilt structure will withstand the winds this time, offering his family even a fragile sense of stability.
This isn't the first time I've used these wooden boards. They cracked during the last storm and caused my tent to collapse. Now, I got them again from a nearby workshop. But we really need stronger wood and tarps. What would truly help are proper housing units. Yet, they still haven't arrived, leaving us trapped in this endless cycle.
For Abu Ihab and countless others, the meaning of refuge has long been lost in the ruins of the homes Israel destroyed. No matter how many times they rebuild or reinforce their tents, the struggle remains the same. Families continue searching for materials or any form of proper shelter, but what they truly need remains out of reach as long as Israel blocks the entry of essential construction supplies. Ahmed al-Najjar, Khan Yunis, Palestine.
Pakistan's capital Islamabad marked the International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims of the Crime of Genocide and of the Prevention of this Crime. A seminar was held bringing together former diplomats, members of parliament, think tank researchers, university faculty members, and students. Speakers reflected on historic and ongoing genocides targeting Muslim communities, saying Gaza today represents the world's gravest moral failure.
9th December, and by the United Nations, it's declared as the Genocide Prevention Day, and especially to pay respect to the victims of different genocides. I must appreciate all the people in South Africa and all the other different countries, have showed their courage to support this issue and to support the people of Palestine, and especially the students of different Western universities. They supported this issue more.
Participants described the situation in Gaza as catastrophic, urging Muslim countries to stand united to defend the rights of the Palestinian people. They said nations like Iran, which have shown firm diplomatic resolve and a strong stance against Israeli oppression, can send a powerful message to the world.
I think it requires the realization and united action by the entire Muslim community around the world. It is not only some people who raise their voices, and it is then forgotten. But Iran has taken a stand which is a beacon of light for all of us.
Meanwhile, a Muslim unity conference was also held on the outskirts of Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. Participants from diverse backgrounds rejected U.S. President Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza, calling it a complete fraud.
The so-called peace promise made under Trump's leadership is nothing but a fraud. There is no ceasefire. The massacres continue. The genocide continues. Even the areas Israel was supposed to withdraw from remain under siege, and aid is still not reaching the people.
The participants emphasized that Gaza has become a defining test for the Islamic world, urging Muslim nations to take a united stand against occupation, injustice, and genocide of Israel.
Public anger keeps growing across Pakistan as the Israeli genocide in Gaza continues unabated amid international silence. Many fear that without global action, the catastrophic humanitarian crisis will intensify. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
The annual International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people was observed at the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa compound in Ethiopia's capital Addis Ababa. A ceremony was held on Tuesday, bringing together representatives from the UN, the African Union, and ambassadors from various countries. The event highlighted decades of suffering faced by the Palestinian people, both in Gaza and the West Bank.
The Palestinian people's suffering has intensified under decades of a belligerent Israeli occupation, which has relentlessly targeted our land, the people, and every aspect of life in Palestine, culminating in an atrocious genocide in the Gaza Strip, confirmed by numerous UN and international human rights reports.
Injustice also continues in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem, with Israel military operations, settlers, violence, settlement expansions, evictions, demolitions, and threats of annexations. At the same time, hundreds of humanitarian workers have been killed. The majority were Palestinians, UN staff, marking the largest loss of personnel in the organization's history. More journalists have perished than in any other conflict since the Second World War.
Participants expressed support for the Palestinians' legitimate rights, including the right to have independent states.
The Middle East region will not be able to emerge from the successive crises unless the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people to establish his own independent state are recognized.
Despite the UN's annual International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people and global calls to address the ongoing crisis, Palestinians continue to face a grave ordeal in the history of humanity. And this event in Addis Ababa urges the international community to move beyond rhetoric and support the legitimate resistance of the Palestinian people in their quest for self-determination.
As we reflect on the hardship endured by millions of Palestinians, we are reminded that solidarity is not merely symbolic. It is a moral imperative. It is a wake-up call to the international community to redouble its commitment.
The event concluded with the 40 exhibition featuring the tragedies occurring in Gaza, honoring ambassadors whose countries have recognized the state of Palestine, and the flag raising ceremony. Amanil Gabramatin, Addis Ababa.
Officials from the three branches of government, along with leading experts, came together for the National Summit on Enhancing Transparency in Tehran. The event also marked International Anti-Corruption Day.
Transparency and administrative integrity lie at the heart of Islamic governance, which brings the officials of the Islamic Republic together.
Good governance depends on greater transparency and the elimination of conflict of interest situations. This gathering aimed to promote these principles and increase public understanding of the country's governing bodies and their performance.
The outcome of the scientific and expert discussions in this program must indeed be actionable recommendations that contribute to a culture of transparency, which is rooted in our Islamic-Iranian heritage.
There is a direct correlation between transparency and conflict of interest, such that greater transparency will allow for easier identification of potential conflict of interest situations. The decisions made by officials across all sectors of governance must be made accessible to the public.
The meeting also focused on discussing policymaking, inspection, technical analysis, and the evaluation of anti-corruption measures, as well as mechanisms to oversee the implementation of the law.
Our country's judicial system, in its capacity as supervisor, will monitor the implementation of transparency initiatives. And at the Ministry of Agriculture, we have taken the lead on this issue by signing the relevant agreement.
Our primary objective is to ensure the seamless delivery of services, supported by administrative integrity and reduced operational costs, while maximizing transparency through the simplification of bureaucratic procedures.
According to Iran's General Inspection Office, the ultimate goal of this meeting is to establish a sustainable system for assessing administrative integrity and issuing administrative integrity report cards so that transparency and accountability become an integral part of the country's managerial culture. Mohin Amini, Tehran.
Yeah. such a beautiful day. Have I met you anywhere before? I feel I've known you a thousand years or more.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say? Front of it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an analysis on the most important Islamic teachings. I am Atta, the host of this program, Shaykh Danish and Shaykh Fadai. Two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom are in today's studio. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh Danish. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, thank you.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah.
So, how are you doing, Shaykh Fadai?
Thank you. Thank
and Shaykh Danish, what about you?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much for accepting my invitation to the program, The Teacher. Our deeds are presented by the angels to Prophet Muhammad and A'immatul Athar. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how this presentation of our deeds is taking place in our life? Is it when we are alive or when we are dead or both of them? This is a major question for today's discussion. Okay, Shaykh Fadai, let's start with you, brother. Let's talk a little bit about the presentation of our deeds. What does it mean exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, it refers to the meaning of imamah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imamah means leadership.
All right.
The leader, a real leader, is not the one who just talks. For example, if we have a leader in our society here in Iran,
all right,
the supreme leader Ayatollah Khamenei, so it doesn't mean that he only just gives sermons, have some lectures, talking to people and advising people. It's not a kind of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The leader is the one who guides people by the words, guides people by the actions, and control their actions, check their actions. So every day, lots of reports go to the leader,
all right,
our leader, in order to be familiar with the phenomena and the actions, good actions, bad actions.
Different events that are taking place in the society, that's
even
right.
Even natural disaster,
yes.
I don't know, economic problems, social issues. So if the one is real leader, He should be aware of everything that is happening among the people. So Imam, when we say Imam, it is not just restricted to Amir al-Mu'minin and the next Imam. Even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Imam with the meaning of leader.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in the theology, the ilm al-kalam, that Prophet is a position and Imamah is a higher position, that our Prophet had both prophecy and Imamah, Nubuwwah and Imamah. And for example, Prophet Abraham was like that.
Right.
He was Nabi and Imam. So our Imams, from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to Imam Zaman, that is our Imam, live Imam, all of them are the leaders. So when they are leader, they should be aware of all actions.
Okay.
That their people, not just Shia people, all people.
Uh-huh.
You know, our Imam are not Imam of Shiites. They are Imams of all human beings and all jinns and all beings, even materials.
Okay.
Even Imam of the tree, even Imam of the rock, Imam of the sky.
So
imam
you mean,
that.
So whatever we do in our life are presented to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's leading.
Uh-huh.
Not just giving sermon.
Okay, so now the major question, Sheikh Danish, is that, I'll get back to you, Sheikh Fadai, for more detail, but Sheikh Danish, what's the use? Mm. I mean, what's the benefit of our actions being presented to imams, we can say, who passed away, okay?
Yes. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as Sheikh Fadai clearly mentioned, that this is a process that entails our actions being told and this knowledge being given to the A'imma alayhim as-salam. And in the Holy Quran, we see that in the verse of the Holy Quran, Surah Tawbah, verse number 94, it clearly says that وَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ So it says that your actions will be seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet. So it mentions the Holy Prophet by name. And this will be told to you by somebody who knows, who is the alim al-ghaybi wa shahada.
Yes.
So this is a certain thing that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding the Holy Prophet, and in the verses and in the ahadith of the Ahl al-Bayt regarding the A'imma alayhim as-salam. So this is something that is recognized even by someone like Ibn Taymiyyah, says that he believes in the knowledge of this to, given to the Holy Prophet.
Okay.
By the angels, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it necessary? That there has to be someone who is a witness to your amal, mm-hmm. right? And one of the verses speaks about that. That the purpose is that the A'imma alayhim as-salam and the Holy Prophet are witness to your deeds.
Deeds, that's
and
right.
They can give guidance to you in different stages of your life. So we believe, as Muslims and believers, that divine guidance comes from the divine realm. Right? And so even in barzakh, even in their hayat barzakhi, or the life in the purgatory, they are able to guide the believers mm-hmm. in different stages of their life. So one of the philosophies is that they give guidance through this knowledge that if a person is committing a very serious mistake in their life,
uh-huh.
for example, they are not performing Sila Rahim
mm-hmm.
at a certain stage in their life, or they are getting involved in something that is not to their benefit as believers, there might come a guidance from the higher realm. It's not necessary, but for those who attach themselves to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who regularly associate themselves to the A'imma, the role of the Imam, even the living Imam, Imam al-Zaman alayhi salam, ajallallahu ta'ala faraja, it is to guide the believers.
Mm-hmm.
And this guidance could come from the advice of someone, or this could be shown to them either in a dream or through an advice of a friend.
Okay.
So one of them is guidance.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that the Prophet and the A'imma alayhim as-salam do istighfar for the mu'mineen. That is...
on our behalf.
Yes, on
That's
our
right.
behalf, they
okay.
do istighfar. The other is, of course, the being witness on the Day of Judgment, that, of course, you performed a deed, and these were witness,
mm-hmm.
witnesses to the deed. The other is that it is basically showing this high the divine grace is such that these people are also witness. It is showing the power and the divine grace.
That's right.
So all of these things are mentioned in this regard.
That's right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And when our deeds are presented to such people, as you called it, imams, okay? So our prophet can be the imams too, okay? Prophet Muhammad or, for example, the other infallible imams, Imam Zaman, okay? So does it have any effect on our deeds too? For example, can they change the reports or not?
Yes, you know, there are two kinds of effects. The first effect, as my brother mentioned, is that the other side, which is imam, can make some changes, whether it is doing istighfar or helping people. You know, when the actions are presented to imam, imam is aware of the problems, and sometimes imam get involved with the actions of the Islamic society and people. Imam should know what are your problems so he can help you.
Mm-hmm.
If imam is not aware of your problems, how can we do tawassul? And we go to Imam Rizal's holy shrine and we ask Imam Rizal to solve our problem. Mm-hmm. If he is not aware of my life, the details of my life, the problems of my life, how can he
help me? Possible? That's right.
So this is one kind of effect from the other side, which is imam. The other kind of effect is from our side. What is the effect from our side? The effect from our side is to feel shy, is shame. You know, when I know that someone is watching, or my actions reports will
this
be presented.
This is called haya, isn't
that's
it?
The kind
that's
of
right.
haya.
Modesty,
you know,
that's right.
When I'm doing some personal thing for myself, for example, I'm in my house, and I'm in a bedroom, so I do whatever I like.
Yeah, privacy, that's right.
No one is watching me. But what if I know that there is a camera? For example, there is a hotel, and I see that there is a camera, like here in this studio,
that
we have camera.
Okay, in the studio, we have cameras. Let's say salam to our cameras over here. That's right.
So, do we do everything in front of camera?
Yes.
Of course not. This camera will make an obstacle for me not to do anything that I like.
Very good.
If I search in my cell phone and na'uzubillah, I search some forbidden thing, haram thing.
All right.
But if I know that my cell phone, the screen is in front of a camera, I won't search bad
things. Being recorded.
Yes, I won't search that.
All right.
You know, presenting a'mal to imams and prophet, when I'm aware of that, it makes an obstacle for me not to do everything. You know, there is a very beautiful sentence from Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, that he say in Persian, "Alam mahzar khodas." This world is the presence of God. Is everywhere God is present. So do not commit sin in the presence of God. You know, presence of God and presence of our imams is an obstacle. It's like that. The effect is that when I'm aware of that, you know, we should think about that. We should consider. Sometimes we know something, but we forget. Insan is that.
Yes.
Some people say that insan is from the root of nisyan.
Means the neglectful, forgetful. Forgetful, that's right.
We forget, but if I try to understand and remember every day that my deeds are presented to Imam Zaman every week, every month,
every moment,
so
that's
every
right.
Every moment. So I will feel shame and shy not to do every kind of action. And if I did, I do istighfar because of Imam Zaman. That,
all right.
So I know that I did a bad action, last week, mm-hmm. and it was presented to Imam Zaman, and now he knows what I did, so I feel shy, and I do apology, not just in front of God, even in front of my Imam Zaman.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for my sins.
That's right.
You know, and I want to add another point. Sometimes, you know, because God is very kind,
mm-hmm.
and one of the attributes of God is Sattar. Sattar means the one who covers.
Concealer.
That, conceal it.
Yeah.
Even though that we have this reality that our deeds are presented to Imam Zaman,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes, not all the time,
yes.
sometimes God even cover our deeds from Imam Zaman.
Uh-huh.
In Ziyarah Jama'ah, we have Ya Wali Allah, Inna Baini wa Bain Allah Azza wa Jal Dhunuban. There are some sins that is between me and God.
Uh-huh.
God didn't present it even to you. La yati alayha illa ridha.
Oh, I know what you
mean. It cannot be clean unless by your satisfaction. You don't know what I did, but please forgive me.
So that the face of a woman will be saved even from his imam.
God is kind.
Okay. That's
of
right.
course, it's not for all action.
All
we should
action.
Feel shy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But that is the meaning of satar.
Okay, that's right. Okay. So we can say that, Sheikh Danish, the final remarks is that we can say the main purpose and the main goal of presenting our deeds is to benefit from a kind of hidayah or guidance from the side of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt, isn't it? And this hidayah must guide us to the right path, or keep us at least in the right track of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I right?
Yes, and as Sheikh Fadai mentioned, that one is the concept of haya that a believer feels in front of the a'imma alayhimu salam. Because once when we know that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows about our bad deeds or the things that we haven't performed according to what we should have, then we feel a bit detached, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at such a high status, we may not be able to picture the relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as believers in the Holy Prophet, as believers in the A'imma alayhimus salam, when we go and perform their ziyarah, we have a personal connection with the Imam,
yes.
right? And we feel his presence, right? So a believer is basically going to be much more concerned about, of course, we should be much more concerned about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, this emotional attachment sometimes is with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and this makes us feel uncomfortable
right.
in their presence.
Okay.
And one of the reasons is basically this concept of imama, as my brother also pointed out, that there is a very strong connection in this regard between the imam and the ma'mum,
mm-hmm.
and the leader and the followers. And so this strong connection, we feel it much more when we know that every Monday, every Thursday, every end of month, all our amal are going to be presented to the imam. And in the riwayas, it has been mentioned that when the amal are presented to the imam, they are also presented to the imams before the 12th imam.
That's right.
It is first, it goes to the 12th imam because he is the Imam al-Hayy,
mm-hmm.
Imam al-Hazir.
Yes.
And then it also goes to the other imams. And this concept of haya then is, its importance increases. And then it is finally presented to the Holy Prophet in Barzakh.
Mm-hmm.
So this Hayat-e Barzakhi plays a role in the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
It plays a role in this connection that the believer feels with the Imam. And it also is basically being a witness to the Amal of the Mu'mineen and performing istighfar for them and seeking forgiveness for their acts, as has been mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. The Quran advises the believers that if you have performed some wrong acts, why don't you come to the Holy Prophet and seek, ask him to pray for you. So this whole concept is that the Holy Prophet, the A'imma alayhimu salam, do istighfar on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And as has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, فَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ.
Yes.
Then it becomes this istighfar of the Prophet is going to take you near to the forgiveness and righteousness.
And how kind must be our Lord and our Prophet and our Imam
that they are worried about our actions, okay? So they do istighfar and a repentance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save our face. And this is the true meaning of Islam, being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of all this kindness that we see every day, and every day they are taking care of us, and Imam Zaman, Jalallah, may Allah hasten his reappearance, you know, is witnessing, is a live witness to our actions. Thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the chance of taking care a lot of our actions, because we are being seen, and we are all 24 hours, we are being recorded, okay? So that our actions, we can say, are presented in a good way to our Lord through Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt and Imam Zaman, inshallah. Sheikh Fadai, thank you very much. Sheikh Danish, thank you very much for this concept. Thank you much, dear listeners. For any information or more information, please visit our website, iranradio.ir. Also, send us your questions and comments at iranradio@sinairabi.ir email. So, till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Good evening to all of our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. We start with our evening news bulletin that will be followed by today's special, a special daily mixed format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. And to round up this hour's programs, we have our radio productions feature. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Another Palestinian baby has died due to extreme weather amid worsening humanitarian conditions and Israel's ceasefire violations in Gaza. Iran's president slams the world powers for their double standards and granting security exceptionalism to Israel that commits crimes in the region. Venezuela and Colombia have condemned as an act of piracy the U.S.'s seizure of a Venezuelan oil tanker in the Caribbean. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, I am Bahman Ray. As Gaza is grappling with worsening humanitarian conditions, two Palestinian children have died as a result of extreme cold. An infant and a 9-year-old girl lost their lives in Gaza City. Their death comes as heavy rainfall and strong winds have been ravaging displacement camps in the Gaza Strip. Amid deteriorating humanitarian conditions, the Palestinian territory continues to witness Israel's ceasefire violations. There were fresh attacks on the El Baraj refugee camp in central Gaza, while Israeli warplanes struck parts of Gaza City. Khan Yunis in the south saw Israeli attacks as well. Let us now listen to several Gazans speaking about their daily hardships caused by worsening humanitarian conditions.
The situation is catastrophic. First, the ground is muddy, and the tents they gave us are unsuitable for living in at all. The rainwater leaks inside, as you see. I swear, wherever I go, there are buckets and containers placed to collect water and protect the children. I am the widow of a martyr, and I have four children, the youngest of whom is 2 years old.